found this in Ganarum. Ganamir Ni.
What is it?
Well, it's
a performance.
Welcome to Synthaholics, guys. This is your host, David Duncan.
And Aaron O'Brien.
With
Captain Carl Miller of Warp 11.
The one, the only.
I wanted to compliment you guys on your opening music. It's pretty awesome.
I know. Who did that?
I don't know.
You guys might have to update it to like something from the new CD, though.
That's a good point.
Maybe for season two. I just I picked some of the music that had longer musical intros.
Right.
The new one doesn't seem to have as long intros, but
I think I have everything without vocals on somewhere, like just the music.
Ooh.
We're friends with the Scotty's son.
Okay.
Oh, Chris Doohan from Star Trek Continues.
Yes, and he was the one. He's like, hey man, we want to use some of your music, because he's got a podcast as well. And he asked if he could use some of our music, and he asked if he could get it without the lyrics. So we always without the vocals. So I have some lying around. If you want it, I'm just saying it's there.
But Carl, let me ask you, because you know you're a singer. You write the lyrics. You got all these ideas, and then it always seems like everything gets commercialized, and they just pull the lyrics out.
I know. I agonize over these lyrics. You don't know how much. Like, I will keep rewriting a song until I always say, I'll look at the band and go, you guys, it's lyrically perfect. And that's but they know that that's like a week's of process.
Yeah. You turn the page and it shines in your face, like the briefcase in Pulp Fiction. It just
writes. Yes.
But the thing is, like, because you got to do the lyrics, you got to get the melody correct. You know, I mean, you get the flow with the rhythm of the actual song, so it's got to all be. You know, it's got all come together there, and then somebody goes, do you have that song, but without the lyrics?
Can you just cut you out of it?
Yeah, and you're like,
that would be amazing.
Hey, man,
and let's turn down the bass track too. We just want the guitar.
Yeah,
right.
I know.
And normally, when someone says that, I tell them to fuck off. But because it was a Doohan, I was like, all right, Scotty's son.
Because
wants
it's
it.
You.
Done.
And because just Scotty's son already got it, maybe we can get it too. No, but we actually love your lyrics, and you might really like the outro music too, because the song we picked for the outro, we actually wanted the lyrics, and it's very specific.
Nice.
So
it's very good.
It's very fitting for the show, which is why I approached you. I was like, can I please use your music, Mr.
You guys
Miller?
Can use anything you want.
The fun and the way you do your music, it just would fit so well with the irreverence that we pay our podcast.
Right. Well, what's mine is yours.
Awesome.
You got that on tape.
Yes, I think we had it on tape last time too. So like, it's
I guess
like,
it's not really tape anymore. Can you tell I'm old school? We got all tape, baby.
It's all tape.
All the kids are like, what is it? Like Scotch tape? What is he talking about?
I know,
a sex tape.
Exactly. There we
analog,
go.
Analog digital. What's the difference?
There is no difference. So you released a new album this past summer. We actually talked to you last time in May.
Right.
You were talking about the upcoming album. Now the album is released. So how has that been for you guys?
It's been great. Sales are up, costs are down. We're happy with it.
Supply and demand.
You know, it's funny because we had just come out with Borgasm when I talked to you guys, right?
Yes.
Which was our concept album. And the plan was, I might have even talked, I don't know, stop me if you've heard all this before, but the plan was we were going to do an album because we have so many songs. You know, we're prolific songwriters and but some of the songs we write are just like Brian will just start playing like a weird riff and I'll start like just kind of riffing some lyrics over it and it just turns into this like really goofy stuff that we have and the goofy stuff we don't really feel is like album worthy because we like to put the really good stuff on, not the weird stuff.
Sure.
But we decided that we could do like a B-sides album. That was the plan. It was going to be called Enterprise B-Sides. Right? See what we did? See what we did there?
And all the good songs will be available on Tuesday.
Exactly. And so we started to practice because Borgasm was done and we started to play all these songs. So we have like 20 songs that just never made it onto an album. But Borgasm was, in my opinion, like such a good album that we got – we played everything at one practice, and we got halfway through on the second practice, and I said, guys, stop. We can't follow up Borgasm with Enterprise B-sides, because people are going to think – because I think Borgasm is a fantastic album. It's so different from what we normally do, and I just think it just came together so well from where I'm sitting. I'm biased, of course, but I said we can't follow it up with the B-sides, because people are going to think Borgasm was like a fluke. Like, you know, they just got lucky. What is all this shit? So we sat down and put our head to the grindstone and just started writing a bunch of what I consider to be really good songs. And that became Rock Out With Your Spock Out.
Well, last time you were with us, you were saying you got some really bad writer's block. And you just were like, screw it. We can't I can't care anymore. And then as soon as you said that, the muse came back to you.
Yes. Was it that long ago that I had my writer's block?
Yeah, you were telling me that you had the writer's block, and you said it came to you. So I just have to ask, was I Just Fucked a Hologram, was that the song you came back with after your muse came back to you?
No, I think it was a Free Bird of Prey,
nice.
Straight Out of Vulcan. What was it? Seven of Mine, Mirror, Mirror, and Tonight I'm Gonna Love You Like Captain Kirk.
Oh, that's
those
great.
Were the last ones that we needed. It's funny, I Just Fucked a Hologram, which is, for those of you who haven't heard the album,
that sounds like a really jokey
one. Yeah, definitely. Well, this album kind of thematically is as cohesive, I think, as Borgasm was, which is weird for us, because normally our earlier albums, like the first five or six, they just jump all over the place. You know, I mean, there's a lot of rock, but there's like some country and some punk and the occasional waltz and just all these different styles. On this one, we just kind of wanted to write kind of an old school, like kick-ass bar rock
right.
album.
Right.
And but I Just Fucked a Hologram with something that I came up with the concept like just years ago, like 7 or 8 like years ago. We were leaving the house to go to a gig, and I was carrying my bass outside. I was just thinking about it. I said, and I turned around and stopped. And I said, "You guys, I just thought of the greatest idea for a song. It's gonna be called I Just Fucked a Hologram, and the very last line will be, it'll be like this raunchy song. The very last line will be, it was good to see my mom again." And everyone's like, and the band looks at me and they go, "Oh, dude, no.
No.
I was like, "No, I'm telling you, man, it's going to be funny. Like, people like it." And then when we played it,
it's got this crackle track to it.
Yeah.
When we played it the first time, like, we've only played it live, I think, twice. But when we played it the first time, it was twice, because we played it once a long time ago when I wrote it. And then we played it at the CD release party, because when we do a CD release party, we just play the album in its entirety in order.
Right.
And but I told the band, I go, "Okay, you guys, check it out. So when we do I Just Fucked a Hologram, like, when I get to the last line, like, watch the crowd, because I guarantee, like, they will be visually, like repulsed when they hear it." You know? And I swear to God, like,
that's how to end on a high note.
"Yeah, I Just Fucked a Hologram. It was good to see my mom again." And like, the entire audience kind of like there was a beat, and then they all took like a step back. Like, "Whoa, you can't say that."
And did they try to return their album then at that point?
No.
There were riots in the streets.
Yeah, no, dogs and cats living together, complete hysteria.
That's great. No, it's a beautiful song.
It's funny, and I'm sorry to cut you off, just let me get this thought. It's funny because the album is so hard rock, and then that last song is just so to me, it's like the exclamation points or the period at the end of the joke.
It reminds me actually of the ending of, in its own way, of Stone Temple Pilots' Purple album, where it has that weird song where the guy's singing real weird at the end of it.
Yeah, totally.
That's what it just reminds me of. It's totally out of, you know, it's a different... Like you said,
it's out of place.
Out
on
of
the
place,
album.
But it just still sits there just nicely. It's like,
it's so Warp 11. It's just kind of raunchy.
Yeah.
And it's funny and it's weird.
It's
so
great.
Yeah, we're happy with it.
That's awesome.
I always say forever, like, that's going to be the last song of the album. We end with that.
Yeah, I think the first time I listened to it after you sent it to us, I'm pretty sure I busted out laughing. I was like, "Oh my gosh!"
Yeah. No, that's great. It's totally up our alley too, for sure. So,
and for the record, my mother passed away some time ago. But if she was alive, I never would have played her that song.
Oh my god!
Never.
Oh my god!
And luckily, my mom didn't really listen to my music too much. So
right.
Yeah.
She was like, my mom was great. She was like she was so normal. She was like Miss Cleaver, you know. She was just this perfect mom.
That's funny.
Not into the Star Trek, not into the sci-fi.
Yeah, wherever she is out in the nether out there, she's probably...
Well, now she's turning over in her grave.
Yeah, she's like, why? one of the other songs is the Red Cert Zombies.
Right.
I think you've there's this big zombie mashup thing going on with TV, comic books, and everything.
Right.
I think you've latched onto something that could be much bigger than just the song itself.
I mean, definitely.
I think there could be a whole Star Trek revitalization of zombies and Star Trek mashed together.
Well, it's funny because we've dressed like zombies, like red shirt zombies for a few years, like for Halloween shows.
Yeah,
on Halloween. And that's why we wrote the song. We were doing a Halloween show, and I said, all right, you guys, we got to write a song for the Halloween show. We're dressed like zombies. We got to write a song called Zombie Red Shirts.
Right.
And so we did.
Well, yeah, but it could be like, you know, it could be like a cross between, you know, Walking Dead and Firefly the Reavers, you know, meet yeah. Star Trek. I mean, that would be like, I was, because when I was listening to the songs and I was like, man, zombies out in space, that'd be weird. I mean,
we have the Vulcan zombies in Enterprise.
Yeah, once. Yeah, they have the Vulcan zombies in Enterprise. Yeah.
And that's why I love Star Trek, because I probably said this last interview, but you can write a song about anything. I mean, there's so much to work with, you
right.
know, social issues and stuff, and just anything. It's like, oh, yeah, is there zombies in Star Trek? Of course there's been zombies in Star Trek, because there's like a million hours of Star Trek.
Well, I mean, some people would consider even the Borg to be zombies. Now,
yeah.
I even think they kind of said zombies in First Contact when I think Lily said zombies.
Right, right. Hey, it's funny, when we do zombie red shirts from Beyond the Grave, I believe. It's funny. I'm looking at the back of the CD, and it's the official title is supposed to be Zombie Red Shirts from Beyond the Grave, but we only wrote Zombie Red Shirts on there. But regardless, I always tell people, I say, you know, because we play a lot of places, and some people, you know, obviously just kind of happen upon us, or they come with friends, they don't like Star Trek. And I'm like, you know, I know a couple of you out there probably don't like Star Trek, but you know what everybody loves? Zombies. And then we talk about the monetary, you know, mix them all together, and yeah, it works out well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It would get somebody into it, even if they weren't into it originally. Yeah,
right.
No, I thought that. That's a revelation there that's a market that has not been tapped,
and we want to tap that market, damn it!
Just like that keg or that ass, or, you know, whatever.
Exactly. It's all about the latinum for us. We're in it for the latinum,
right? Absolutely, yeah. So I don't know, that was a big thing there. So
speaking of latinum, I actually one of my favorite songs from the album is Starfleet Pays My Check, which is
which is
canonically, you know, doesn't make sense, but I just I love that song. Well, it sort of makes sense a little bit in Deep Space Nine, because apparently Starfleet gives them some sort of like allowance so they can buy things.
Can I tell you,
Quarks.
The Star Trek universe monetarily makes no fucking sense at all, because they do these episodes where, like, you know, they're in a restaurant.
We have no money.
And some guy comes by and busses their table.
Right.
And I'm like, who is that guy? You know, like, he could do anything he wants. There's no such thing as money. So he doesn't have to bust that table. He wants to bust that table.
He woke up one day.
And that's weird. And the guy that wants to bust my table, I don't want busting my table.
Well, that's, you don't know what he does at night.
Well, that's the thing is, that, right? And that's a good point, because, I mean, there's been a lot of speculation. I've read a lot of things about, because I would love to live in the world where there would be no money whatsoever, and everyone had like a egalitarian kind of thing going on. But the thing is that, like, there's got to be someone who comes and fixes your toilet after you plug it up, and nobody wants that goddamn job. I mean,
so,
just nobody.
Well,
you probably
and
just beam it away and have it re-replicated.
Yeah, and the guy who wants it is the guy you don't want coming to your house working on your toilet.
Right. I mean, nowadays, you know, there's a guy, he's highly trained, he's a plumber, he's worked all his life doing this, and he gets paid good money to do that, because, hell, he paid his dues, right? Now,
right.
We've got, you know, in the future, it's like, who says, like, Dad, when I grow up, I'm going to unclog toilets. You do that, son.
Jake,
that was
Jake's follow-up plan to writing.
Yeah.
If his writing was just awful, he would have probably gone into you know, fixing toilets, because Jake is that inspiring.
Oh, my God.
Well, for the record, Brian, the guitarist, wrote Starfleet Signs My Check. And Brian, he's going to listen to this for sure, so he's listening right now. Hi, Brian, you suck. and Brian, like, really, he knows just enough Trek to be dangerous.
Right.
But he doesn't know as much as like me, like an ungodly amount of tracks. So when he writes stuff that doesn't make any sense, I just let it go. I try to encourage him. Mm-hmm. Good job, Brian. Mm-hmm. You don't suck. I take it back.
It's a great song. I like listening to it. It's really catchy. And I thought you had something to do with it, because when we gave you that opportunity for the Riker scores last time, you mentioned how you liked how Riker, just imagine how Riker had to clean all the cum out of the holodeck.
Yeah, the jizz mopper holodeck.
So, but after the first chorus, whatever, he's like, he's got to go back to the holodeck to clean it. I thought you wrote that, because I thought that was a reference to your thing you told us.
I added little bits. I sprinkled some lyrics here and there.
Gave him some ideas, right.
I thought that had to be connected. Was it?
No, I think Brian just knows about it. Brian used to do the show that the band came out with, The Prime Directive, and we used to do a lot of jizz mopper jokes.
So oh, jeez.
He was exposed to it a lot.
Oh, that poor man.
Yeah,
all that
right?
Psychiatric help he'll need.
Yeah, hey, let me ask you this, because it's weird. Like, as a band, we write a lot of songs together, but Brian usually writes like one song by himself. And in this one, I think he did two, well, actually more than that. But it's always a Brian song that's the favorite. And it's always like one of his little ballad songs. I don't mean little. It sounds so belittling.
Little.
One of his ballad songs. So do you like the song Hello Old Foe? Because that's a Brian – that's a classic Brian original.
Hello, my old foe, the Stovacor song, the drinking song?
Yeah, hello, blood, why am I old foe?
Yeah, that's actually my second favorite song on the album.
Okay, good. Then the universe makes sense. Good job, Brian.
When
he played that one to us the first time, I said, God damn it, you just wrote everyone's fucking favorite song on the album.
Yeah, right. I love that song. I mean, I like all the songs, but those two definitely stand out. I liked the Mirror Mirror version of Seven of Mine.
Yeah.
That one was interesting too, because it was the last song we wrote, and it was like this riff that Brian had written. We record just random stuff in the band room. It was this riff that we'd been sitting on for a while, and I was like, man, I really like this riff. And we kept trying to. We have the lyric folder, which is just like filled with all these lyrics or scraps of lyrics of stuff that we like haven't used or like we wrote, just never made it into a song. And man, I tried like everything. I mean, all the lyrics we had, like at least like 20 different ways to sing this song. And I was like, God damn it, I'm so pissed. Why don't we just use some of the old lyrics? And I randomly opened the lyric folder, which has all the songs that are in use, and it opened up to Seven of Mine. And I just started singing that over it, and I was just like, oh my God, that sounds amazing. All right, fine, we'll just use this.
Yeah.
it really worked. I like both versions a lot. And since I already knew the lyrics, I was like, yeah, I could sing to this one, and it really works.
Yeah, I noticed that, and people like that. In fact, we're talking about just doing for – we have like three more albums in us. All right, we are going to do Enterprise B-sides because we have so much material. We just want to get it out there.
Come on, we got Star Trek coming in 2017. You got to have more than three.
Yeah, no, well, three for sure. three that are already in my head, right? So we got that. We're going to do a fake live album, because Kiss Alive wasn't really live.
It wasn't?
No. They went back. I think they recorded it live, but then they went back and fixed everything that
fixed
was wrong with it.
Fixed all the tracks that were wrong. Yeah.
Fixed all the tracks and added like crowd noises. They added to make it sound like even bigger. So I totally want to do a fake live album called Warp 11 Live from Uranus.
Oh, that's great.
And make it sound like like we have like speakers that are the size of a planet, and just have it be like ridiculously over the top, like the biggest show ever.
Can we be your fake audience?
Yes.
Was she going, ah! They got my shirt, Kyle!
But you'll have to like be our fake audience like 1,000 times over, so we can record all of you and then make it sound like there's a
wasn't
million
that,
of you.
Wasn't a Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy where they had the concert out in space? I can't remember what.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I'm trying to remember the name of that.
I forget the name of the band.
Oh, it was a long time ago. I've
It was like they had to have like their own planet to put the speakers on.
The speakers on. Yeah, it was amazing.
Yeah, that's the idea.
It was the ultimate rock thing. I think it was like Restaurant at the Edge of the Universe was the book that was in or something like that. I can't remember. But
And then our third CD, the third album that I want to do is we do weird stuff on Halloween. I don't know if I mentioned this last time, but like our Halloween show is always like one of the more fun shows. Because did I tell you about the Roddenberrys last time?
No.
No.
Oh, really? Okay, so we made another band. It's a side project that only called the Roddenberries. It's like, but it's Rod and Berries, like my Rod and Berries. Nice. And I'll send you a picture of the logo. It's like this beautiful like ship that just looks like a set of balls and like but it's very Star Trek.
That's awesome.
And what we do is we wear black flight suits, kind of like Enterprise, but instead of blue, it's black.
Nice.
And wrestling masks that are the color of our uniforms. So I wear a gold wrestling mask, and Brian wears a red one, and Kiki wears kind of a crazy one. And we're from England, and we've opened for Warp 11 like four times. Wow. And what's awesome is, and we only sing songs about Star Trek. Right. And we'll write 45 minutes of new material.
That's awesome.
That's just about. In fact, a lot of those songs kind of turn into our normal songs eventually.
Why does the Roddenberry sound like it could be like something like Peter, Paul, and Mary or something like that?
You just got to put the emphasis on the Roddenberry. but it's awesome. I love the pathos of it that, you know, we're this band and we've been around for like 15 years. We have 7 CDs out. And in our spare time, we made another band that only sings songs about Star Trek.
That's cool.
And what's awesome is, so we'll go up and we totally play it up. I mean, a lot of people know it's us, but some people really don't. Because, like, before we go on, I'd be like, man, those fucking Roddenberry's guys better fucking show, man. They're fucking assholes. They're fucking prima donnas. And I'll just keep bitching about them. And then when we go up, we talk in bad British accents, like Spinal Tap.
Oh, my God.
And we just talk shit about Warp 11 the entire show. We were doing this gig so long before Warp 11 came along. It stole our idea.
That's hilarious.
So we'll play our 45 minutes, and then when we're done, we leave. We strip off all our outfits and give them to our friends that are like our size.
Right.
And then when Warp 11 gets up, the Roddenberries come back in and start talking shit.
That's
like
so
while
funny.
We're playing, they like yell at us and stuff. And you'd be surprised, God, like how many people
that's like, so inside don't know, baseball, like
yeah,
Inception.
Don't know that it's us.
Wow, that just took a whole nother level to showmanship. That you've basically made up a false band. You play two shows at once.
You're rival with yourself.
Yeah. And so we've done that, and then we like sometimes I hate filking. You guys know what filking.
Yeah,
is.
You mentioned someone made a Gilligan's Island song to
exactly.
Voyager.
Like, they do it at Star Trek conventions a lot. Like people get up and sing these songs that are like taking a well-known song and changing the lyrics to be about Star Trek, which I'm against filking unless we filk ourselves. And so we've done two. We did a Batman band last year where we dress up like Batman.
That's
like
great.
Brian was the Joker. He looked amazing. And so we'll play a 45-minute set where, you know, instead of, you know, a song for people that never watch Star Trek, it's a song for people who never read Batman.
That's great.
And we do that. And then we did a Star Wars band called the Batman band was called the Gotham Knights.
Nice.
And the Star Wars band were called Hyperdrive 12.
Great. That's great. That's
and awesome. And you know, instead of like Red Alert, it's Red 5.
Right.
And I love it so much. And bring this sucker to whatever it is, you know, Red 5. And Brian goes, standing by, Red 5, standing by.
Oh, my God. That's great. That's awesome.
And then the other thing we do on Halloween sometimes is we do the mirror version of Warp 11. It's fun because we'll wear costumes from the Mirror episode.
Does Kiki wear a goatee?
Yes. Yes, she does, and I shave mine.
Nice.
And I wear a wig, so I have a full head of hair.
Nice.
And all our personalities. So we write all new songs, but we use old lyrics. So it's like, you know, it's just like the Seven of Mind Mirror Mirror song. It's like the alternate universe version of this song, and our personalities are totally different. So normally I'm like the front guy, you know, I'm the captain, I stand in the middle, I sing all the songs. But in this one, I stand way in the back and I'm really shy and I don't talk. And Brian –
Put your hair in front of your face.
Yeah, totally. And Brian's like this crazy – he's like, all right, guys, you ready to rock and roll?
Great.
So the third album we're going to do is just – we have a bunch of Mirror Mirror songs that we've written. So we want to do like a Mirror Mirror album.
That's great.
Oh, that'd be great.
Wow, and like as David said, that we are going to get a new Star Trek series. So
I know, I'm excited about it.
You're going to have more things to write about.
More inspiration.
As if we needed more. There's so much to write about. Yeah, I'm stoked that Nicholas Meyer is writing it. You know, the guy who wrote Wrath of Khan.
Yes, that's super exciting.
And I read an article or an interview with him recently where – because I just kept saying when I heard it, I was just so wary because I just, you know, this is just
it
me.
Sounds
but
too good
Enterprise,
to be true.
Enterprise was – it was just such a rehash. I mean, there's so much Star Trek, and they just – and near the end started just doing so much of the same thing. Just everything felt the same. And so I was praying that they just make it different, you know, make it feel fresh and new. Kind of like when I saw – I always use Battlestar Galactica as a example. I just – when I saw that series the first time, I was just blown away. It just felt so fresh. I loved all the floating camera out in space. Everything was handheld. Just didn't really – you know, it didn't feel like they were on a set all the time. And Star Trek kind of fell into that. Everything's a set rut.
Yeah. I mean, the way Battlestar Galactica was filmed, it almost felt like Firefly a little bit to me. It's like they kind of like – since Firefly died, it's like, hey, we can take some of their like
let's rip them off.
Yeah, since they're no longer around.
But yeah, but I'm stoked, and I think it's really weird that it's going to be on the CBS
All Access. Yeah,
I didn't even know they had their own like pay per thing.
Until we heard about that.
I don't think anybody did. Unless you're an avid fan of The Good Mom,
you're probably not going to know.
Yeah, you're not onto that. So,
but you know, but because it's not on the network, normal stuff. I'm hoping that they take a few risks that you couldn't do on network TV.
I'm pretty sure they will.
I really hope so. I mean, they kind of tried to with Enterprise, but they couldn't do because they were on network television.
I think they're going to do some Game of Thrones kind of stuff going on.
Yeah, I hope. You know, I mean, wouldn't that be just like a dream? I was just thinking, like, I was saying, I wish that Netflix or HBO could have got it.
Oh, I know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we've mentioned that a couple times.
And then I said, Romulan boobs for all my men. Just boobs and murder in Star Trek would just be so awesome.
Yeah, I mean...
Because Klingons are deadly and scary. I mean, they need to... I really want to see a Klingon, like, rip into somebody.
Yeah totally. And I want blood.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, we were joking about what was the one where the Koloth and Kor they take.
Oh, they're going out for the albino, and like the guy puts a whole batleth in front of the guy's neck and like tries to slit his throat with a giant batleth,
and he just kind of falls
and there's the batleth's got blood.
It's so like Batman 1960s Batman,
yeah, totally.
You know.
Yeah, but this was 30 years later in the 90s, so I'm like, how did that even like get by? Like, just so it was so poor. I mean, like it's Star Trek and it works, but at the same time, if you're kind of looking at it from an outside, you know, analytical perspective, I'm like, that's so weird.
Yeah, there's bloodless battles.
Of course. Oh, well, and now I'm excited because Deadpool did so great that now we're going to get, like, I guarantee every studio is like, what can we turn into a rated R superhero movie?
Yeah.
I even heard Wolverine might be rated R, last Wolverine.
I heard Wolverine 3 was supposed to be rated R.
I think Wolverine should be rated R. I mean,
always should have been rated R.
I mean, if you have knives popping out of your knuckles, you need to be rated R.
There should be blood flying every single time it happens, like,
yeah. Slow-mo blood. Deadpool slow-mo blood.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's a hopeful thing. I mean, hopefully they keep true to the Star Trek, you know, ethos there.
Right, but add blood and boobs.
Right, right. Which, you know.
You got to add your B's and your B's.
Yes.
Blood, boobs, and batleth.
But it just comes down to it's like that's where
that,
TV's
wait, that
going.
Is a great band, a great album title.
maybe that'll be
blood, boobs, and batleth. I'm gonna write.
You can take that,
Carl. If you name your album that, you will make Dave's like century. Okay, just, I'm gonna let you know now.
You know, it's like title of album by David Duncan, just in tiny little words at the very bottom of the last page of your album cover.
You'll die a completed man. You
know? No, blood, boobs, and batleth. If it's not an album title, it will definitely be a song.
Yeah,
it
needs to be. Yeah, maybe when they.
I mean, if CBS All Access delivers, I mean, like it writes itself, right?
Yes.
yeah, that's going to be great. I can't wait to see what they come up with.
Yeah, especially with Nick Meyer and Brian Fuller, because Brian Fuller is big on death. You know, he did, you know, Pushing Daisies. He did, you know, Hannibal. So maybe we will get like a Star Trek zombie show. I mean, like, you know, with death being a central theme in Brian Fuller's work, and even the stuff he wrote for Voyager had like, you know, was kind of death centric.
Wouldn't it be weird if they came up with like a race like the Reavers and they brought that into like the Star Trek universe?
Mm-hmm.
That'd be horrifying. I mean, every time they brought the Reavers into this show for there, I would get like I almost kind of pooped my pants a little bit. You know, I was like,
they're scary.
They are like really scary. You know,
yeah, they
radiate themselves like wearing people for clothes.
Yeah, raping people.
I'll never forgive First Contact for introducing the concept of a Borg Queen. Because don't get me wrong, I liked the Borg Queen.
Yeah.
But I hate the concept of a Borg Queen.
Because yeah,
that agree. Was the thing that made the Borg terrifying.
Right.
Was that there's no head
there's
to
no
cut
head.
Off.
Yeah. That's
you know, and it was just
I think we've had that kind of conversation.
Yeah, yeah. Aaron feels the same way as you. I don't mind the Borg Queen. And if you think about the best of both worlds, Locutus didn't act like the rest of the Borg either. So
I also didn't like that they named him Locutus, and they're like, well, we need a liaison. It's like, what do you mean? All you do is assimilate. Just,
yeah, you don't
resistance
care.
Is futile. What are you going to talk about?
Yeah, there's nothing to talk about.
Wait. We're going to sit around and we'll talk about how resistance is futile. we need to talk about this in an open discussion right. so we can tell our feelings about how futile right. this is.
And don't get me wrong, I love Best of Both Worlds, and I like the Borg Queen. Because I like looking at her because she's cool again, but I just don't like the concept.
Yeah, I kind of thought the decentralized kind of just like this huge hive mind that no one is in control. It's just everybody kind of communicating, making this you know massive yeah. race do its thing. It's just far more fascinating and terrifying.
Yeah, and you
than
know
a central
in the
control
original
point.
In the original Alien film. Because I read the Alien book when I was a kid, and I love the concept that there was no alien queen. Mm. That basically, that it was this beautiful circle of life and death, where you know an alien grabs you, and he kills you, and then he cocoons you, and the cocoon turns into the egg, like it shrinks you up, and he lays a little egg on you, and so the eggs were people, and then the facehugger bursts out and lays an egg in another person. And then the alien pops out of that, and it's a circle.
It's self-perpetuating. Yeah.
And I loved it because it's just so dark and terrifying. And then terrifying. You know, once you add the queen, it's like, oh, okay, yeah. just another queen.
There's a central point. Let's kill the central point. We win. Woo.
Yay.
Oh, look, there's an exhaust port on that giant space station.
Oh, don't even get me started on exhaust ports.
Oh, wait, there's a small little square on a giant planet that'll make the whole planet fall apart like Star Trek 3.
What was it called in Star Wars? Was it in the new one? Was it the thermal regulator?
Yeah,
it was something like that. And I was like, when we walked out of the theater, I said, when are these bad guys going to learn to protect their thermal regulators?
I've spent my whole life trying to design an anal bum cover.
Well, I mean,
I think the Empire needs to design an anal bum cover.
It's the same thing, you know. Napoleon goes into Russia, and Russia is too cold, and they freeze out half his French troops. And then Hitler does the same thing, and he makes the same mistake. So I think it's just history repeating itself. You know?
Obviously.
So, or it's, you know, the writers repeating themselves like, we haven't done this. We haven't done this before.
That was the weirdest part of the new Star Wars movie. And I know this has been talked about a lot by everyone, but just – it was just so weird that, like, okay, let's make a new Star Wars movie and let's just remake A New Hope.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just so weird. I mean, they could have at least – I wouldn't have minded it so much if they would have kind of set it up like kind of a Wheel of Time thing.
Yeah.
Where, like,
yeah.
they kind of say, like the Force, there's this problem and the universe is going to keep doing the same thing until we can get out of it.
Like
we
a Matrix
do it right.
kind of thing.
Yeah, well, the Wheel of Time, that's a fantastic, you know, point. And if they would have set up Star Wars that way, that would make a whole lot more sense and maybe be a little bit more forgivable. And the little bit I've been reading about Rogue One, they're saying, oh, it's going to be very reminiscent of A New Hope. I'm like, why?
What?
Why?
Hey, I know, we just did it.
The Force Awakens was just really reminiscent of A New Hope. Don't make two movies back-to-back reminiscent of A New Hope. Please.
Why would you do it again?
Please don't do that.
And I thought Starkiller Base, which is also a super horrible name, but Starkiller Base...
That's Luke's original name. Don't diss it. No.
I know. No, I got that. I got that.
Yeah, I know.
But, I thought that it was just like that third act where they just go in and just blow it up. It was so unterrifying. It should have been a trilogy if you're going to do it. And have Starkiller Base like make it like a threat and build it up over three movies and like blow it up in the last movie where you really feel because like man we blow up so many Death Stars it's like it's just ridiculous it's so unfrightening there's so little tension in a planet killer that's a big round ball and don't even get me started with well. Don't get me started.
Don't get me started.
I have to totally agree with you on that. I just like why they could have done some you know and like all those planets they blew up. I didn't care about them because I didn't know what they were.
Right.
And so it's
exactly.
like there was no tension.
No, it wasn't.
No tension whatsoever.
And how do they see those planets blow up some so many light years away? And they're all, like, horrified.
Right. Well, how did the beam know to split into, like, five different beams right before it hit all the planets?
It's a shotgun blast. It's a really, so really weird. Slow shotgun blast.
And, again, don't get me wrong. I was able to turn off my critical brain and just go along for the ride, and it was fun seeing everyone again.
It was a fun ride, but it just it could have been more.
It could have been more.
Right. And talking about could have been more – what about this new Star Trek Beyond? Do you think it's going to be more, or do you think it's going to be more of the same?
Well, you know, a lot of people hate – I know some hardcore Trekkies that hate the J.J. universe.
Yeah.
And, you know, they say, it's not Star Trek, you know, it's just an action movie. And I'm like, you know, I always say, yeah, but man, those last few Star Trek movies were horrible. I mean, there was this loss of money. Insurrection was unforgivable. It was basically. Have you guys ever seen the analogy that it's Wrath of Khan?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh wait, not Insurrection. What was the last one? Nemesis.
Nemesis was like the Wrath of Khan and Austin Powers combined. I've seen that video. It's pretty funny.
So, you know, but I like the new movies because they're fun and exciting, and I hated what they did with Khan. But I'll forgive them. And but people were saying, like, you know, where's the Star Trek? Where is that ethos?
Right.
You know,
right.
That is the core. And I read an interview with Simon Pegg, you know, because he's one of the writers.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, and after the trailer came out, because the trailer came out, and all my like hardcore Trek friends are like, God damn it, they're just another goddamn, they're blowing up the Enterprise, and God damn it, it's another action movie. And do you guys hear the Pegg interview where he said, you know, I know that the trailer makes it look like it's just another action movie, but that's not it. That's just the trailer, and they're trying to do that to get people in. But I swear to you, it's a Star Trek movie. I put Star Trek in it because I know that's what people want.
Ethos. I hope he's not lying, but he Simon Pegg also said that Khan is not Into Darkness. So
yeah,
there's only well, there's everybody. Only... Everybody had to say that.
And you do have the glaring visual of Kirk doing Evel Knievel on there. And I'm like, I just don't understand how he got the motorcycle skills in the 23rd century. I just don't understand.
Sure.
Maybe that's what he does on a holodeck, and we don't know.
I don't know.
Right?
When he's not getting the ladies.
He was riding a motorcycle in the first movie.
I know, but I can ride a motorcycle. It doesn't mean I can do an Evel Knievel and live.
Well, come on. He's Captain Kirk. Of course
Captain
he can
Kirk
Evel
can do
Knievel.
Anything he wants to because he's Captain Kirk.
That.
He
I'll
came back
that.
From the dead. Of course he can do an Evel Knievel.
And he did construct a like gunpowder in a gun when he's fighting the Gorn.
Yeah, he like invented the fucking like shotgun with a diamond and stuff.
Diamond shotgun.
So impossible to do. But whatever. I'll just let that one slide too.
Yeah, when I was watching Star Trek when I was really young because it was in syndication. I was born in 68 when it came out, and when I was like 8 years old, there's nothing cooler than making a shot rocket out of a diamond and some coal and sulfur.
Yeah, big bamboo.
Big bamboo.
Yeah, big bamboo.
tie some vines around it to make sure it doesn't split.
I even thought the Gorn was a little scary at that age. So.
I mean, he was a big lizard guy. I mean,
slow. You don't slow as hell. I just run away. I love that fight scene between Kirk and the Gorn is the greatest thing ever.
With
a guy in the Gorn suit.
He would be slow.
He's so slow.
Speaking of the Gorn, I like that. I didn't play the game, but the game that came out after the first Star Trek reboot movie.
Yeah,
they had the preview on TV that had old William Shatner and the Gorn playing the game together,
yeah,
and they
getting
the fight over it.
Yeah,
that was
hot.
Great, but I heard the game was terrible, unfortunately.
Yeah, I played a little bit of the game, and it was terrible, unfortunately.
Yeah. Not good, but there were Gorns in there, supposedly.
I didn't make it to the Gorns.
It's like you rage quit before. Threw your controller down, snapped the disc in half.
Right. I play a lot of video games, and if it's not holding up, I'm like, there's better stuff I can waste my time on.
That's right.
How many hours have you wasted on Fallout 4?
You know, I'm only 25th level, I think. So, I don't know, 25th.
I don't know.
Whatever. How many hours going?
You tell
level?
Me what that means, Dave.
I don't know. It's just Fallout 4 is a game. Technically, you could play forever and still not see everything.
Sure.
Right.
Forever being 400 hours quoted by the developers.
Right.
I've probably put about 100. I probably wasted 100 hours on it. So
it's really fun. My favorite games are the ones from Software that do Dark Souls, and they came out with Bloodborne. Have you heard of that one?
Yeah, I've never played it though.
Yeah, I'm obsessed with like Dark Souls and Bloodborne. So, but and I can't play like other games after Bloodborne because it is control wise, it is the best video game I've ever played. It's so responsive to what you do that like if you play Bloodborne and like hours and hours and get really used to it, and then try to play something like The Witcher 3. I just can't do it because The Witcher 3 just feels like you're just like a Lego character swinging your arm up and down. There's just no finesse.
That's like me in real life.
there's no finesse to it. So I'm playing Fallout 4, which is nice because it's going to like a more of a first person shooter, which I, you know, which gets me out of that. I can't play another RPG where I'm swinging a sword, yeah. But I'm just doing that until Dark Souls 3 comes out in April.
Right.
Oh, April. Force Awakens comes out on Blu-ray then, which I pre-ordered, even though I just ripped the movie, a new one, a few minutes ago. I still pre-ordered it.
I'm going to get it, too.
You know, it'll sit next to my six-disc set. And then
for as many problems as I had with The Force Awakens,
it was entertaining.
Still infinitely better than the prequels.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
No doubt, infinitely better.
No doubt. Yeah. It's hard to even... compare that.
It drives me crazy when like my friends with like young kids, you know, they just don't know, and so like they'll tell me he loves the prequels. I don't know what to do.
I've talked to people in their, you know, like early 20s I'd be like, I'll talk about Star Wars with them, and they're just like, why do you like New Hope compared to like Phantom Menace? And like, what do you mean? And it's like, the first 20 minutes, it's just robots rolling around in the desert. And I'm like, are you a dipshit or what? I mean, it's like, look, I understand it's a lot prettier in some ways and like more action-packed, but there's no fucking story, you moron.
Yeah, that's, you know?
And the characters don't mean anything. Did you guys watch Red Letter Media's Star Wars review?
Yes, yes.
The most brilliant thing. I watch it like once a year.
Yeah, I
can't get enough. I can't get enough of it. And when he was like, when he did that thing where he asked people, okay, describe this character without saying what they do or without telling what they wear or what they look like.
Right.
And they're just like, oh, Qui-Gon Jinn. He's quiet,
stoic, maybe.
Stoic. Yeah.
Bored.
And, you know, Princess Amidala. Well, tired. She's, quiet.
Sad.
yeah. And that's another hilarious thing is, how can she be like queen and then she's not queen? It's like, what kind of like weird like election system?
They elect children to be queen for a couple of years. It's like you know, part of like a debutante type thing. It's like
so
the best debutante gets to be queen for 4 years.
You won Miss America or Miss Naboo, and now you're queen. You represent our world.
You do it for a few years, and a whole bunch of
old men oogle you for 4 years.
That's right. Yeah, the king gets to grab your boobs for a while. You know, I mean,
you know what I loved most about
it's called affection, not sexual harassment.
One of the things I love most about The Force Awakens, and I was just reminded by something you said a minute ago, but I love the fact that the lightsaber battles, which like the ones in the prequels, were just, you know, crazy jumping around, super flips. They just brought it back to more of a Empire. More of like Return of the Jedi, where, you know, it was just like a sword fight and they were just kind of hammering on each other. And I just loved that.
Yeah, no, that's
the
thing.
Jumping around.
I also liked how they admitted light. Like, that totally game changer. Like, I hope there's a lot more sword fights in the next one just because that whole admitted light, and it was dark and it was snowing, and it was, I mean, that whole ambiance was just fantastic.
Totally. And I liked Kylo Ren. You know, I know he's kind of like a weird little whiner, but I thought he was interesting that he's just so messed up, and that, you know, he's like, you know, I keep feeling tempted to go to the light side, and then he throws his tantrums. I loved his tantrums. Like, the stormtroopers walk and they just turn around and
nope.
Leave.
That's
like,
a whole lot of nope.
Here he goes. Did you see the Kylo Ren thing they did on Saturday Night Live?
Yeah.
super funny.
It's like, I knew you were Kylo Ren when you said, hi, my name is Matt.
Yeah, love that. No, I mean, I think there's a good... JJ has a good way of developing characters and making you attach to the characters. I just think he sucks at stories and wrapping up a story. That's where I think he... I mean, like, if you look at all the Star Trek ones that he's done, like, his character development are great. You love the characters. You like who they are. You like who
I
others.
Cried when Kirk's dad died. Like, the first five minutes of the movie, I feel a tear going down.
Thor died. Oh my gosh. Who will pick up the hammer?
Yes.
It's hammer time.
No, but I mean, it was one of those things where just like, you know, he's so good at that. But then like the rest of the story, he's like, and then some crazy shit happens and I don't know how it ends, you know.
It's right.
Like, and he's, if you've seen Lost, he does the same thing. I mentioned the movie Super 8, which is a great movie up until the very end. You're like,
right.
What the fuck? You know, just find out how you're going to end the movie before you start making.
Right. Well, that's why I didn't watch Lost, because I watched the first season, like when they were on the third season. And I remember thinking, like, I really liked it. And I was like, and me and Kiki were watching it together, and we finished it. And it suddenly hit me. I said, oh, my God, we can't watch the rest of this. And she's like, why not? And I go, it's like the number one show in the country right now. It's never going to end.
Yeah.
They'll never end it. They're just going to keep making weird shit happen and stringing us along until no one cares anymore. And then when the ratings go down, and that's when they'll end it. And that's exactly what they did.
Well, and the thing with Lost was great is that they had so much twists and turns. But in the end, it's just like, okay, so they were all in purgatory, and then they just hug it out in a church. And like, I'm sorry, I stabbed you in the back. Literally stabbed you in the back.
Right.
I forgive you, man. I'd be like, fuck you. You stabbed me in the back.
Yeah, that's not cool.
You know, I blame Lindelof on that. Lindelof wrote the last episode of Lost. He also wrote a lot of Star Trek in the Darkness, which is why I blame, you know, Into Darkness's faults on Lindelof more than the other two writers.
Right.
Because I know Lindelof. He also did Prometheus, which I despised.
Oh, I hated that movie so much.
So Lindelof shouldn't be allowed near anything. Or if he's allowed near something, don't let him finish it. Let someone else finish it. Because I think it's more his problem than J.J. Abrams.
No, J.J.'s back in it, and he gets the final say. So, I mean, he's saying, like, yeah, that's great, you know, or no, you know, let's not do that. So, I don't know. I have a hard time with all that because it's very frustrating to think that these people make all that money.
Yeah, and then it's
and
like
they can't write a goddamn script. I was like, this. You have one job.
You have one job. Do your one job.
Do your one job and make all that money, but make it worth your while. You know, I don't know.
So, back to
Just let me throw this out. Remember that question? The band was called Disaster Area.
Oh,
Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Oh, nice.
That's nice. Oh my God, that was.
They're not only the loudest rock band in the galaxy; they're the loudest noise of any kind at all.
Yeah, exactly. But that's amazing.
Yeah, that's
loudest
awesome.
Any kind of noise, even louder than a pulsar.
When I read that, when I was originally reading, it's like, man, that's got to be like the greatest rock show ever.
Ever. You have to be on a whole other planet so you don't get destroyed by the music.
Yeah, the music doesn't kill you. I know. It's amazing.
But what I wanted to ask was, since this is the 50th anniversary of Star Trek this year,
right?
Are you guys going to be playing at any of the conventions? Because I know there's conventions popping up all over the place.
We're playing the convention in San Francisco. We're playing Creation's 50-year mission tour.
Okay.
San Francisco, December 9th through 11th. You know, William Shatner, he's like the guest of honor.
Nice.
Awesome.
So, yeah, so we're stoked. You know, we have a weird relationship with Creation. And Creation, for those of you listening, they're the guys who put on the really big Star Trek conventions, like the one in Las Vegas that's like the biggest, and then this one's one of the other large ones. And, you know, we would approach them back in the day, because, again, I've been in this band for like 15 years. We'd say, hey, you know, you should have us play your show. And they'd be like, okay, well, let's check you out. Wait, suck my Spock now.
Yeah. Like, you know, no, we're not gonna do that.
Go down on me? No, because they're real PG. They don't want to offend anyone. And we kept telling them forever, like, no, we do PG shows. We totally, instead of fuck, we say frack. It's funny. People laugh. It's great. And we finally convinced some guy, one of the guys there, one of their creative directors, to let us play a show, a smaller convention that they were doing in Sacramento. And we're like, it was a total test. He's like, okay, I'm going to check it out. We'll see what you guys do. You know, we'll start you small and see how it works out. And we finished the show, and the guy, like, loved us. He's like, oh, my God, you guys are great. That was such a fun show. It was funny. It was rock and roll. I loved it. You guys are totally going to play Vegas. I'm sending you to Vegas. And we're like, oh, my God, at last. That's so awesome. And then, like, 2 months later, I contact the guy or send the guy an email. And I get an email back that says, oh, he's no longer with the company.
Oh, Jesus.
And I was like, oh, no. So, you know, he was going to have us play Vegas. They're like, no. Suck my Spock? No. I don't think so. And we were back to square one. But finally now we convinced some other guy who works there that to let us play something. Maybe, so we're going to do that.
Maybe they'll let you go to Vegas for 51. If hopefully Sacramento will work out for you guys so you can be Vegas for 51. I know my friends at the Trek Geek podcast, they like Five Year Mission, and I know Five Year Mission's playing in Vegas this year.
Is that like your ultimate enemy, Five Year Mission?
Yes. Yes. Fuck those guys. No.
Ah!
No. They're cool. And, I'm a little jealous at times because they've already played the 50 year, or they've already played one of the Vegas shows. But they are much more like kid friendly than we are. So I can kind of see why they get the gig.
Right.
And they're good. I like their stuff. I think it's really fun.
I actually haven't listened to them except for the little clips they have on the Trek Geeks podcast, so I don't know, but I would really love to see you guys.
I'm friends with their lead singer, and so we exchange CDs whenever we come out with a new one.
That's good.
There you go. And you're like, here, I just wrote a song called I Just Fucked a Hologram.
What did you write today?
Yeah, right. And they're like, and you wonder why you don't get invited.
Yeah. he just like looks down his glasses at you.
Oh, man. Well, you know, you got to have somebody like
win
that.
Win some, you lose some. But, you know, maybe they'll love you in Sacramento and then like, hey, let's get you in for Vegas for 51. That would be amazing.
I know.
And hopefully I can make it to Vegas for 51 because I can't make it this year.
And you know, I mean, with the whole Star Trek thing changing, it might, you know, the all access.
It might bring in more R-rated.
Right.
You know, boobs, blood, and batleths. You can't...
Can't go wrong with that, and then
no can defend.
And they just did this trailer with Sabotage in it. I'm like, I can't believe that ever happened. So
right,
you know. So you're like, you got that Beastie Boys song. I mean, I can't imagine they would be like, no, we can't use Warp 11.
Right.
No.
Well, we'll keep our fingers crossed.
Right. Well, it could. I hope that that does work out because I think the change that the attitude of society is changing quite a bit.
Oh, definitely. Or people are seriously considering Trump to be president. So I mean,
anything could happen.
It's insanity right now. It's like,
I added the. Do you guys watch Last Week Tonight with John Oliver?
Oh yeah.
On HBO. Yeah, right. I added his Drumpinator app to Chrome, so it changes because, you know, Trump's original name was, his family name was Drump.
Right.
And so right now it's so awesome because I forget it's on there sometimes, and I'll just like see a story about Trump, and right now, like on CNN, it says projections Drump and Clinton win Louisiana, and I just get so happy every time I see that when it says Drump.
You should check out our Facebook page, the Sithaholics Facebook group. I actually put up a picture of Trump and Christie. But Trump is Jabba the Hutt and Christie's slave Leia, but without the tongue.
Oh, God.
it's on the Facebook group right now. You should go look at it.
Check out your guys' Facebook page all the time.
That's great. Awesome.
So you guys have good stuff on there.
We try to be lighthearted and stupid.
Yeah. That's what we try to do on the Warp 11 stuff.
Yeah. Somebody had, instead of the Trumpinator, they had the changed it with the Voldemort. From Harry Potter.
Oh, yeah.
Baltimore. Yeah, that's what it is. They change it to that every time that came up. So that's another one that's out there. So,
I'm looking at the Trump Christie Java picture. That's awesome.
Oh. Isn't that all sorts of sexy?
Things that you wish that weren't.
Right. Things you can't unsee.
I had to share that. I saw that. I'm like, ooh, this is good.
Get the bleach spray. Start spraying your eyeballs.
Burn the eyeballs out. Still in my brain.
Yeah. Well, that's... well, hey, maybe if... maybe if you don't get that that gig in the Las Vegas, you can start having like Rage Against the Trump songs or something like that.
Yeah, we'll figure something out. I think the Star Trek thing's still working. Yeah. We tried for a while, at one point we decided to try to do like a normal band. Like, we had this manager for a little while, and he was like, you guys are totally going to get sued. You can't do this. You can't sing about this stuff. Because you're like singing about Star Trek.
The worst manager ever.
Yeah, right. And so we sat down because I was in non-Star Trek bands when I was young, you know. And I was like, okay, well, let's got the guys together. I said, well, let's write some songs that aren't about Star Trek. Just see what happens. And it was a fucking disaster. Like, it just didn't work at all. And everything we wrote, we hated. And we're like, okay, we're wired for Trek now. We'll just keep doing what
just
we know.
Keep going, right?
See a manager.
No, I mean, you guys have.
And then we fired the manager.
Yeah, you're fired. No, you guys have a lot of great material, and it's so fun to hear what you guys come out with all the time. So that's the great part about it, is that you guys are inventive. It's fun. You're irreverent about everything. So it's,
which is why I thought you guys would be great to cap our show. Just the irreverence cap of the irreverence.
Yeah,
right.
Because we talk about such goofy,
off the wall.
I think you guys, I think maybe for this one, I'm just throwing this out there, maybe you end this show with "I just fucked a hologram."
That's not a bad idea. I think we can work that one out, right?
Play it after the ending.
Yeah, no, I think
yeah, after the ending, just tack it on, because it's worth hearing.
It is. No, it is a thing of beauty. And it,
just FYI, this show is rated explicit. Don't let your children listen to this episode.
Mama, don't let your children listen to this podcast. Yeah, no,
this one will be very rated E for not everyone. E for explicit.
And NE, not everyone.
Yeah, exactly.
But let's see. Do you have any other big news for the 50th anniversary? Anything that you're thinking of? Or
you know, we just have some gigs coming up. We're playing a show in San Francisco on like May 27th, and we're playing Davis with a really great band called the Brodies. They're like the darlings of Davis. They've been around as long as we have, on like May 7th. We were going to play some stuff on Kiki just came in here, and she's just giving me like the dirtiest look because I guess I got my dates wrong.
Ooh, nice.
Did I say May 27th? Why, no. I, of course, meant May 21st.
Oh, there you go.
Hi, Kiki. Give us dirty looks.
So Davis on May 7th with the Brodies, and then in San Francisco at the Milk Bar. It's on Haight Street. It's right across from Amoeba Records, kind of a famous place, on the 21st of May.
Great.
And then we're trying to get something together in April, but everyone was gone, so we couldn't do it.
Yeah.
Everyone's gone.
Everyone's off doing stuff.
Everyone left. They've abandoned us.
Oh, bands, they suck. Trying to keep everyone together.
Oh, it is so hard. I can't believe that I've been in this band for like 15, 16 years now.
It's like hurting.
It's just insane. And kids. With only one member turnover.
Yeah. Wow, that's pretty amazing.
That's
pretty
good, too.
I hope we can keep Punch at the Honks going for 15 years with only one turnover.
Yeah, right.
Maybe I'll rage quit and let
them
just
take
care.
Who will it be?
I'm sad that Faith didn't make it this time.
I know.
Me too. We'll have to have you on again so she can check you out.
When you do Enterprise B.
Yeah.
B-sides. Yeah, totally.
Enterprise B-sides. Yeah, and like, you know, when you're like in the middle of writing it, maybe we'll get you back on so you can talk about how great that's going.
Yeah, when your brain is nice and fertile and mossy and you're just ready to have so many different ideas spouting from your head.
And maybe we can say dirty things and you'll be like, hey, that'd be great song title.
That's a great song title. Why didn't I think of that?
Yours is making me think of other song titles that we have that we haven't used. Ready for this one?
Uh-huh.
Boospocky.
No!
Can you imagine the cover of that album?
Oh, the cover?
No.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
What was Spock's wife's name? What was her name?
T'Pol.
T'Pol, and he's just
no.
T'Pring. So it's a picture of her, but then he's got like jizz all over her chin.
We have lyrics for a song we haven't used. I want to ball T'Pol.
Who doesn't?
That's pretty much everybody. Come on,
it's irreverent, damn it.
Yeah, it is.
It's her birthday today as we record this. Actually,
yeah,
Jolene Blaylock.
Saw that.
She should be in more things naked.
She should be.
More of that, what was it, the gel?
Yeah, the gel.
Decontamination gel.
We've got to
rub you in all the spots that your clothes aren't on, so let's make your clothes as not as small as possible. Let's make them a little bit bigger than the smallest spots.
You know, so that's some pervert. Again, like some guy who didn't get paid invented the decontamination gel, and he's the guy you don't want rubbing decontamination gel on you.
That's right. It puts the lotion like, on the body.
They're like, all the guys in like sick bed are like, why do we have to do this gel thing all the time? Shut up and take your shirt off.
Yeah, exactly.
Dr. Phlox here. It's like, oh, I'm going to use these baths on your nipples, and then
I do like an idea of putting bats on nipples. That seems a way
to just
go.
Hang upside down.
Yeah.
Right.
This is like, how does this help? It does. Trust me.
Don't worry.
This is not a holographic camera. Just trust me.
Trust me.
That's great.
This is strictly for your medical records. Because it reminds me of, you know, we talked about the Cogenitor episode where,
right.
Phlox was trying to show Trip the pictures of how three sexes do it.
Right.
And he's like, no. And I'm like, oh, come on. You wouldn't have said no in real life.
Like, he's like, I have pictures. No, that's okay. No.
How about video?
We've like, let's watch this.
Let's watch this. He's like, oh, I've got a video instead.
Can you just bring that? Can you just send that to my room? Could you just send those files to my room?
I'll be out in about 10 minutes.
Yeah, I'll be back in a little bit.
I'll be in my bunk.
Co-janitor.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for coming on and joining us again, Carl. It was a lot of fun.
It was fun. It was way more fun because I wasn't hungover like last time. So.
Hey, well, don't make that a habit.
I planned ahead. I will never do another interview like on a Sunday.
On a Sunday.
So Saturday's dangerous enough, but Sunday now, because that's like 2 days in.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's just a drinking binge that never ended.
Until Monday morning, it's like, damn it!
Right. What was I thinking?
That alcohol tastes really good.
It was really good. Well, thank you so much for coming on, and thank you for letting us enjoy your music, and you guys are just keep on coming out with this music. I don't know what drives you to keep on writing all these great songs, but whatever that...
It's some sort of pathos, I'm sure.
I was going to say, whatever that deep hole into your soul that needs that right. refilling, I'm glad it's there.
Well, as long as people are listening, we'll probably keep writing. I mean, we'll have to end eventually, but like I said, we've got three more albums we have to do, so we'll see.
Well, when you have that terrible train accident and you lose your hand, then...
Right.
You
know. That's something to look forward to. the train accident.
No. Maybe...
at least make it a shuttle accident.
Oh, okay.
Hopefully you'll be unbreakable, so, you know, your hand right. will be intact.
Yeah. that Amtrak train accident and... Oh, you never played bass again.
Never played the same again. That's all right. You know, I've been thinking about hiring another bass player because sometimes I just get so sick of playing bass. I just want to jump around and sing.
Yeah. Well, you know, I can't blame you for that one.
Yeah, that would be fun.
Who wants to be perpetual Stings playing bass right. and singing all the time? It's too much work.
I'm like the bald Sting.
There you go.
Exactly. Maybe I hope you can be in the next Dune they make.
Oh, that's what you got to do.
you got to be that character from Dune, who Sting was.
And I'm going to be like the
Spice... Fade Rautha.
Yeah, and I'm going to be the Spice Navigator dude that's sitting yeah, in the, that... The,
yeah, yeah.
I'll be Gurney.
Gas,
oh,
mutating.
Gurney. Yeah.
You know, as I'm getting older, my eyebrows are starting to look more and more like Thufir Howitt's.
That's nice.
They
that's
just get
the women
so
love
long
that.
And crazy.
The women want to ride that thing all night.
Oh, yeah.
You want an eyebrow ride, baby. Yeah. That's like the mustache ride of the 24th century.
Did you, speaking of women, like last time you told us only once has a woman thrown herself at you after a gig. Has anyone else thrown themselves at
not
you?
Even,
after?
Not even a little bit.
You're ruining
but the
it
one,
for us.
But the one was good.
You just need to keep making that shit up. That's what you just make crazier stories and just tell us. Yeah, we'll believe you.
Oh yeah, after last chick, it was two girls, both of them wearing like little plastic Vulcaneers. It's hot.
Two Vulcans.
And that's all they were wearing, right?
Yeah, that's all.
It was
they
two
were
Vulcans,
wearing.
One cup kind of thing going on.
Oh,
two Vulcans, one pun fire.
Oh.
Two girls, one ga.
Oh, no,
that's a giant ga.
That's one giant.
Are you sure that's a ga?
Oh.
That thing's alive.
You need to be treated for worms, lassie.
Right. Oh, that's horrible.
That's us in a nutshell.
There you go.
Awesome.
Well, thank you all for listening. Live long and prosper.
Peace and long life.
Peace and long life.
Thank you all for listening. All our music is provided by Warp 11. You can find them at warp11.com or follow them on Twitter at warp11. You can find us at synthaholics.com. You can email us at synthaholics@yahoo.com. And you can follow us on Twitter at synthaholicduo. If you'd like to follow us individually, you can follow me at David_J_Duncan.
You can follow me, Aaron O'Brien, at Blackbird2004. Faith, where can they find you?
You can find me at Faith Hertzberg.
And please subscribe to us. We are on iTunes. We are on Stitcher. And if you have a chance, please rate and review so we can improve. And any feedback is welcome. And so we can make the show even better for you.
Live long and prosper, guys.
gazed at the stars, we did gaze. The next morning he left stinking of gin. Well, McCoy, my boy, come mix me a drink. Before the night's over, I'll puke in the sink. And we'll cry till we laugh, and we'll both shit our pants. You're the best drinking friend I ever had. Hello, hello, blood, wine, my old foe. I'm ready to do battle, yes, I'm ready to go. Stove, of course, calling, my battle end is slow. But I'm ready to do battle, yes, I'm ready to go. When first we did meet, my eyes they did cross. Till I could see clearly the want of the sauce. Insults were hurled and cookies were tossed. I fought the good fight, but I'd already lost. Hello, hello, blood, wine, my old foe. I'm ready to do battle, yes, I'm ready to go. Stove, of course, calling, my battle end is slow. But I'm ready to do battle, yes, I'm ready to go. Fist after fist, night after night. My senses are dulled, but I'm good for a fight. Keep raising that fist till the early morning light. I ain't doing nothing wrong, but I don't feel so right. Hello, hello, blood, wine, my old foe. I'm ready to do battle, yes, I'm ready to go. Stove, of course, calling, my battle end is slow. But I'm ready to do battle, yes, I'm ready to go. Too soon.